Brian and Rita are unable to be with us today. But we're going to start with a favourite of mine, I must admit. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Thank you, Richard. Particularly at this time, and then we'll have a time of prayer as usual a little later. So let us pray. Lord, we want to pray for people for whom we are concerned today. People that are known by us and people that we love. We think of Stuart and we pray for him and ask, Lord, that you would keep him safe and that you would be all that he needs. We thank you for his faith over many years. And then, Lord, we want to pray for Sarah's cousin, Maureen, who yesterday had a fall. And that was quite a surprise, Lord. And we want you to be with Maureen. We want you to be her strength. Take away any fear that might have come as a result of the fall. May she recover from it very quickly. Lord, be her comfort, we pray. And Lord, we also pray for Brian's daughter. She is called Helen, and she is back in hospital yet again. She's been in and out of hospital for some time now. Lord, we pray that you would be with her. And we would like to see full recovery for Helen and be with Brian because obviously he is concerned too. And Lord, we know that Rita's not with us. We don't know why, but Lord, we pray that you would be with her. So, Lord, we bring these friends to you and ask that you would be all that they need at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we're going to go to the next song. Morning has broken. Broken in more than way, one way. Because we had to get up early, didn't we, eh? So. Thank you. Now we come to the Lord in prayer once again. Dear Lord, in this world we are given many different choices to make, and it is easy for us to make mistakes. So we ask for your guidance and your wisdom. We know, our Lord, that there is one choice which is of utmost importance. That is to accept your gift of salvation. So, Lord, we want to pray for all who have chosen to accept the invitation to follow you. Will you lead us? Will you strengthen us and keep us safe? We also pray for those who have rejected the invitation to follow you. May they think again and be challenged to accept Jesus as their friend and as their Saviour. And Lord, for those who have never even heard about you, we pray for a miracle to happen in their lives. And help us, Lord, to use every opportunity to be witnesses in a lost world. We commend all people into your care. Meet their needs and prepare us all for new and exciting lives. And our thoughts go out especially today to mothers. We also pray for those who labour with the duties of motherhood within their own families and friends. May their homes be filled with many, many blessings, and may true love be evident. Where among families there is poverty or division, may resources and peace be found. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the power of prayer, and that we can come to you at in any time and in any place. And we think once again of those that we prayed for at the beginning of our service. Lord, we pray that you would be with them and be all that they require at this time. So, Lord, help us to reach out and claim your saving love, and know that you always are ready to meet us with us in prayer, so that we can share our hopes, our thoughts, and our problems with you. And may we also realize that you know what is best for us. May we know the peace that only you can give us. In your name we pray. Amen. So now we go to the next song. Lord of the Light, your love is shining. Right. And now we come to our Bible reading. Rita was going to read it, but she unfortunately is not with us. And so at the very last moment, Jean has is going to take over.
The Bible reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flashing of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped him, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen.
Thank you very much. Before we look at that passage, we're going to sing, "There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One."
Precious Lamb of God.
still part of the series. It's all about Jesus. As far as the gospel record is concerned, the transfiguration, which we're looking at today, was the only occasion during the earthly ministry of Jesus when he actually revealed his own glory. He wasn't known to be pushing himself and his special existence, but here he does allow people to see his true glory, to see that he is truly part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, Luke does not describe, he does describe the same scene, but he doesn't use the word like others do, transfiguration. But, as I say, he did describe the same scene, and he was aware of what was happening. The word transfigure means a change in the appearance that comes from within, and it gives us the English word, here we are, metamorphosis. So, what was the reason behind this event? Why suddenly did Jesus allow his glory to be seen? For one thing, my friends, it was God's seal of approval to Peter's confession of faith when he said, Jesus is the Son of God. It was also the Father, God the Father's way of encouraging his Son as he made his way to Jerusalem. Here he was facing a considerable event. He knew that he was going to be crucified, didn't he? And it wasn't going to be easy for him. So God, the Father's way of encouraging Jesus as he made his way to Jerusalem was to let his glory be seen. The Father, God the Father, had spoken at the baptism of Jesus when he said, this is my Son. And the Father speaks again during the final week of the Son's earthly ministry. So now, here was an opportunity for people to see what the glory of Jesus truly was, that he was part of the Godhead. And this was all going to happen before he suffered on the cross. Because as God the Father knows, there would be glory for Jesus on the throne later. And that was a lesson that Peter emphasizes in his first epistle. Our Lord's own words in Luke 9:27 indicate that the event, this wonderful transfiguration, this event was a promise of the kingdom of God. Now this seems logical for the disciples. They were confused. They didn't really understand, and I don't think we understand all there is to know about the Transfiguration. Jesus was facing the cross. We must not be too hard on the disciples for not noticing. Jesus was trying to reassure them that the Old Testament prophecies would be fulfilled. But before they were going to be fulfilled, he had to suffer. In other words, Jesus had to suffer before entering into his glory. So the Transfiguration was rather a very special event, because this was particularly to encourage Jesus and to let his disciples see that although he was going to his death, which some people would think would be the final of the man's life, that there was much more to come. Why? Because, of course, he would come back. He would die. He would be resurrected. And he would be alive. And so, what God the Father wanted to do was to encourage Jesus and to encourage his close believers that this man was truly the Son of God. He could not have been transfigured if he wasn't God. So there we are. But now I want to move from rather difficult event to what is also today. And that is, today is Mothering Sunday. John 19, verses 25 to 27, I read to you. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to her, Mary, here is your son. And to his disciple, Mary, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took Mary into his own home. Doesn't say who the disciple he loved was, but I think we all know it, don't we? It's John. And John was asked to take Mary into his home and look after her. You know, if we try and think, I mean, Jesus was facing death, and that was probably all his disciples could cope with. They loved Jesus. They didn't want to lose him. And the ladies, Mary, knew that Jesus, when he was born, was God's son. But now he was going. It must have been very hard for them. But the truth was to come. So I hope and I believe that the Transfiguration did give his close disciples some hope when they saw the actual truth of Jesus, when they saw him for perhaps a short time in his glory. That must have been fantastic. But you see, up to then, Jesus hadn't pushed who he was. Oh no. So, my friends, we come and we acknowledge that although Jesus was facing death, he was who he said he was. He was God's son. He is God's son. And we know, and we're going to celebrate the whole of Easter soon, we know, don't we, that nothing could stop him from being born again, if you like. But perhaps not the right words, but Jesus would die. He would die for you and for me. But 3 days later, he would rise. And then people would know that that short time of glorification, the transfiguration, that was an encouragement to bear the truth. The truth was that the man that hadn't pushed himself was now being shown and being encouraged by God, his Father. His glory was seen. But we know that we've seen his glory since. We've seen the glory of Jesus enter our lives. Each person who has accepted Jesus as their Savior has realized in one way or another that Jesus is the Son of God. And that is the important message of the Transfiguration. And now we won't ignore Mothering Sunday either. And I have something here. This sign. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Oh. Please, that would be helpful. Is that the...
No, they're all green, aren't they? Yeah, they're all green. No, they're green.
Yeah. There is one that... differently. There, I take that to Sarah Jane. Don't need any more out. There is one that is different. Yeah, right, good. And we have two left. One is for Gilly. Because Gilly's back tomorrow, I think. Sorry?
The 6th, isn't it? Back here. Oh, sorry again.
So we've got one for Gilly and one for Rita. So. We've done scarves, we've done ladies' cream, face cream, and all sorts of things. So we thought, well, we're sure these could be useful for ladies. Different. Good. So now we're going to go back to our worship. And we'll be singing now. These are the days of Elijah. Do you know this?
You know, some of the words fitting in with the theme, you know, so hopefully some of us all know it.
Yeah, because we're near Easter, aren't we? Like the resurrection.
It is fitting that story because they came just before he died. Oh gosh, yeah. Obviously the relevance of this lesson.
Thank you.
Hey guys.
This one, because the promises of God are true and wonderful. So let us sing it with our heart. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King.
Standing on the promises of God. Standing.
to stand.
As we come to the close of our service, we'd like to remember just once again Maureen, Helen, Brian, Stuart, Rita, and Jilly. Lord, be with them, we pray. Let us say the grace.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah!
Thank you.